Today's program has been brought to you by Kane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit Kane5.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
All right. Thanks for tuning in to the Heritage Radio Network. We are coming to you live, as always, from the back of Roberta's Pizza on a sunny and cold day here in beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn. You're listening to the Farm Report, and I'm your host, Erin Fairbanks. Excited to be back. My first show of the new year. It's been a hot minute, and looking forward to kicking off the new year with our guest today, Mike Fedison. He's the assistant manager up at Hilltop Hanover Farm and Environmental Center. It's a farm and environmental center up in Westchester. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
So I'm excited to learn a little bit more about the farm and your work. I mean, you guys are in one of those areas we hear a lot about, kind of operating in agriculture on the urban fringe. And the farm has kind of a unique history with regards to its ownership, and I'm wondering if maybe you can take us through a little bit of the recent history that got you to the place you are today, where you're operating both as the farm and the education center.
Sure, no problem. A few hundred years that, you know, there was a farm on the property, and in the last incarnation, agricultural incarnation, was a dairy farm where they bred cows. And then in the 90s, that sort of went under, and the farm was defunct. The county decided to purchase the land about 10 years ago, in 2003, primarily for open space preservation, watershed protection. We're right above the Croton Reservoir for New York City water supply, and so the county purchased the land, and then there was a few different models of what the county was going to do with the land, and what has sort of evolved over time. 3 years ago, the Friends of Hilltop Hanover Farm, a nonprofit organization, formed, and now leases the farm property from the county. And the Friends, the nonprofit group, kind of has a dual mission of, you know, we're a crop farm. We grow 5 or 6 acres of veggies every year, but we also we do a lot of education and outreach and kind of promotion of farming in Westchester County.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting. I mean, as we're kind of looking at the future of farming and protecting farmland in this region, in particular, kind of exploring some different models for how that might happen. So here sounds like this really interesting kind of public-private collaboration. And I'm wondering, I want to start off with the education piece. So can you give us some examples of what are the kind of thrust of the education work that you're doing? Is it geared towards consumers or geared towards other producers? What's the focus?
A little bit of sort of everything now. We're kind of trying a lot of different things, and we do school programs during, you know, in the spring and the fall. We have school groups that come for visits, and they, you know, get to learn about the farm and, you know, harvest something that's in season and take that home. We also a few years ago started a program with Westchester Community College. In their continuing education division, they have a certificate program in sustainable agriculture. So we are teaching classes that lead to that certificate program here at the farm. And so there, we do classes in crop production and business and marketing and greenhouses and pests and that sort of thing that are geared toward the participants in the program tend to be people maybe thinking about changing careers or not coming from a farming background, but interested in kind of going beyond the basic gardening classes, which we also do sort of the Saturday morning gardening classes as well for the public during the season.
So shifting gears to kind of look at the other side of operations, you are a working crop farm. Now you said you guys are planting around five to six acres. What type of vegetables are you producing, and what's the season that you guys are running?
So right now, last winter we started, was the first season that we started growing in an unheated hoop house. So we're sort of going all year round. The winter is kind of slow. You know, we have kale and spinach and greens like that in the hoop house in the winter time. But, you know, the main summer is obviously the main season. And so we have a CSA and with 140 or so families and farm stand on the property. And then we also sell to a few restaurants in the area as well, all in Westchester County. And then part of the farm's mission is to also donate to the food bank, too. So I think this year we gave 8,000 pounds of food to the food bank as well. So it's a little bit of every. So this CSA crop list is kind of a little bit of everything, you know.
And any kind of livestock or animals on the property?
We have about 50 laying hens or so that we are kind of toying around with right now. Not toying around with. We sell the eggs, I should say. They're delicious.
I'm like imagining, you know, different like chicken pyramids or formations, maybe a small marching band, but you know, it's more like a standard egg production.
Yeah. I think this is the second year that we've had the chicken production, the egg production. So we're kind of slowly kind of working in, on integrating that. And, you know, there's a huge demand for eggs in the area. So one of the things that's difficult with the eggs is, you know, you sort of open a kind of a can of worms when you tell people you have eggs for sale, and we only have 50 chickens. So there's definitely a lot more room for people to raise eggs.
Nice. So is the type of small-scale vegetable production that you're doing typical to the Westchester area? Can you give us a sense of how the farm sits in the context of other ag operations that are in the region?
Yeah, I think it's a fairly typical size farm. I'm familiar with a handful of other farms in the county, and they're all, you know, sort of a medium, small size scale. And the ones that I can think of off the top of my head that are pretty successful or tend to be doing vegetable, non-certified vegetable type of production, non-certified organic vegetables.
Yeah, so I was noticing that on the website you guys talk about the growing methods that you use and being an herbicide and pesticide-free farm and growing using kind of organic methods but not certified organic. Why is that?
Well, we do most of our sales direct to the consumer, so whether the consumer is a restaurant or a CSA family, and so it's really not, essentially it's not necessary for us to, you know, it's different from when you're going to the grocery store and you're buying a bag of corn chips and you want it to have the organic stamp on it. You know, all the food is going, you know, to primarily to people that actually come to the farm and pick it up, so they, you know, they can see what we're doing here. And, you know, it's kind of an extra hoop that we're fortunate we don't have to jump through.
I'm just curious, too, from like, well, I mean, I guess from an education standpoint, and this is something I've heard from other growers that are about this size, is that the process, and who are doing direct sales, that the organic certification process is not necessary, or the kind of, it's not worth the investment. But is it an investment of money, of time, of record keeping? I mean, it seems to me there is some value in kind of having an increased number of certified, you know, because you can be counted.
I think so.
I'm just wondering, like, you know, what are the particular barriers that are jumping out?
I think, I mean, my understanding, I could be wrong about this, but I think a farm our size might have, the certification might cost somewhere in the ballpark of about $1,000 a year. And there's a really intense record-keeping process. The farms in the area, I'm only familiar with one or two. I know Ryder Farm in Brewster is certified organic, and they go to the Union Square Green Market. And I think that's something that helps them make more sense of that, because if you're at the Union Square Green Market, there's a definite benefit to being able to say the word organic on your sign and draw more people in that way.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, now, how about yourself, Mike? How did you come to your role at Hilltop?
Pretty roundabout. I grew up in the suburbs of Philadelphia, and After college, I moved to New York City and got a job with the City Parks Foundation. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but
a little bit.
They're sort of a sister to the Parks and Rec Department, and I was a gardening teacher there for a few years. And I was really lucky to have some really good coworkers to work with and help me to learn gardening, because I had had a lot of teaching but not a lot of gardening experience. And so all of a sudden I had 9 different gardens to help take care of all around the city. And so I was kind of did a lot of learning on my feet for a couple of years. And it was kind of neat because you could go every day, we're going to a different garden, so we could, you know, I wouldn't have to wait until the following year to kind of refine what I was doing and kind of change the learning curve a little bit, so you can kind of do something a little bit different just the next day.
And how did you make your way up to Hilltop?
I did that for a few years, and then I decided I really wanted to learn how to be a real farmer, I guess. And so I apprenticed for a few years on CSA farms in Pennsylvania. And my wife and I moved back to the area a few years ago. This is my 3rd year at Hilltop.
Interesting. And was there someone in your position before you?
There was, but it's the current farm manager was the former assistant farm manager, I guess.
Got it.
And then but it's a, you know, it's a new organization, so we're kind of lucky. We can kind of, you know, I'm really interested in the education side and the teaching. And so they've given me a lot of freedom to kind of delve into that and work with the community college and work with other programs to help educate other people and other farmers. And
yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I also think it's like one of those interesting things that the skills, I wonder, and maybe you could speak to this a little bit, the skills of a grower, the skills of a farmer, and the skills of someone who can teach and be an educator, you know, are there many overlaps there? Do you feel like you're kind of taking one hat on and off as you go between the two?
I mean, I think there's a ton of overlap. I had a job a few years ago as a chemistry teacher at a community college, and that I feel that was sort of something I happened into, and I feel really fortunate that I was forced to really learn my chemistry well enough to teach it, because, you know, we do a lot of work with our soil testing and balancing the trace elements in the soil, and I feel like having had that experience just a few years ago made me a lot more comfortable, you know, not just reading the soil tests and thinking about what we should do, but to you know, to be able to explain that to other people.
Yeah, and making the transition between the two. That makes sense. Well, we are going to take just a short break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about what's happening up at the farm. So hang tight. You're listening to the Farm Report, and we'll be back after a short break.
You are listening to Memorial Day by Iggy Dean on heritageradionetwork.org.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. In our industrial world, most wines have become brands, but the wines I love are so much more. Fine wine is a civilizing substance that connects us to nature. It cannot be stamped out in a factory. If you're listening to this great show, you probably eat different. I urge you to drink different too. Go deeper. Cane5.com.
All right, we're back. You're tuned into the Farm Report on the Heritage Radio Network after a little bit of a funky musical break. We're on the line with Mike Fedison of Hilltop Hanover Farm and Educational Center. So, Mike, I want to tuck into a little bit of the business end of things because you guys are such a kind of uniquely situated organization. For folks out there who are thinking about alternative ways to kind of get into agriculture, I want to give them a sense of what this type of system looks like. So your, you know, the property is owned by the Westchester County and then leased to the Friends Group, which is a nonprofit that holds the lease and runs the financials of the farm. Is that right?
Or right. Correct. So I'm an employee of the nonprofit of the Friends, and the vegetable sales and the wages for the employees of the nonprofit kind of, you know, have to balance out. Being a nonprofit, though, we're also eligible for grants and things like that as well.
So you're not looking to be essentially self-sustaining by what you're producing on the farm?
I think that would be a great goal. I think that would be difficult for a couple of reasons. You know, this is a very old farm for a few hundred years, and there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of infrastructure and buildings, and there's a giant dairy barn with two enormous silos, and there's sort of a lot of things that need maintenance that if you were starting from scratch and wanted to have kind of a lean farm business, you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't really need those kinds of things. So, and also that, you know, the education aspect, we have, we have the classrooms to keep up and that side of things as well.
No, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm curious, do you happen to know the terms of the lease to the county? Is it, this is something that I feel like comes up often when we're looking at kind of alternative land leasing or land access issues for people in the farming areas, having the need to have a long-term lease for an organization or an individual farmer to be able to really invest in the property in a way that's going to lead to ultimately like a viable operation. Is there a time frame with the lease arrangement that you're aware of?
There is. I should have studied that before this call. But, when the Friends Group formed, the way I understand it was that there was a shorter term lease, and then I think just last year that was kind of renegotiated into a longer term lease. And that was really important to have that longer-term lease for a number of reasons. There's a lot of grants that are kind of dependent on having a longer-term lease on the land that you become eligible for, I think from the USDA and other places. And, as well as just, you know, if you're running a business, you want to be sure that you're going to be there in 10 years. And there's, when you're thinking about buying expensive infrastructure improvements and tractor attachments and things like that, you want to kind of have some more surety that you're gonna still be there.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Now, so then kind of operationally with regards to the, you know, day-to-day decisions and kind of the ins and outs of working the farm, I'm assuming that's pretty nested within, you know, your position and the farm manager. But how does the Friends Group come into play? Is there a board? And can you talk a little bit about what type of decisions they're more or less involved in and kind of operationally where you're feeling kind of their fingerprint?
Yeah, the board. So there's a board and that meets pretty regularly, and they are, you know, they're kind of involved less, I think, in the day-to-day running of the farm, but sort of more in the longer-term vision of, are we going to, get more into doing cooking classes to focus on that? Are we going to, they're working now, I know, on developing Westchester County Farm Trail with the state Ags and Markets Department, you know, to kind of link all, to try to, you know, improve the links between all the farms in the area. And so I think they're primarily involved in kind of the bigger picture items, while the rest of us kind of have our more hands more in the dirt, I guess.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you know, as You know, as a young professional who's looking to be engaged in agriculture, maybe you can tease out for our listeners some of the kind of pluses and minuses in working for an organization like this, where you're kind of part of a bigger team and a slightly more dynamic financial and ownership situation versus, you know, going out on your own and attempting to, like, run your own business or your own education model. I think, you know, oftentimes when people think about engaging in agriculture, it feels like there's one or two ways to do it, but there's kind of a myriad of options, and maybe you can share with us some of the pros and cons to this route that people should be thinking about if they were going to pursue a similar position or maybe one of the alternatives.
Yeah, that's a really great question. So the year before I came to Hilltop, I managed a small 1-acre vegetable business up in Brewster, and it was, you know, primarily me that was doing everything. I had help from people, but you know, and that was very, very difficult. You know, to be responsible for animals, you need to be on the property 7 days a week, and you know, you have to be there to water the plants in the greenhouse twice a day, and you know, it was a lot of early mornings, you know, waking up at four and putting on the headlamp to harvest the lettuces before you go to the farmer's market. And after doing that for a year and kind of thinking about that, I decided that I became more interested, I guess, in working at a larger organization where I could, you know, would be responsible for a piece of the pie and not for the whole pie. And I can, and there's a lot of advantages to being at a larger organization. I'm interested in education and teaching as well, so I can do that more. Whereas when I was on my own little farm, there just weren't any hours left in the day for that. So
kind of can wear a diversity of hats, a little bit of like sharing the stress amongst the bigger group, mm-hmm. kind of different stakes.
Right. And it's great to have people to rely on and lean on, and you know, you always learn from your coworkers. So. We have a lot of really experienced people working here now, so that's been really nice.
Great. Well, on the education end, can you give us an example? I mean, and you had mentioned the partnership with the Westchester Community College and the courses that you have on site. You know, for kind of young professionals who are interested in kind of taking those next steps, you know, maybe you can point out some resources that you guys have and some other things that people might want to think about as they look to tease out those next steps for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely recommend, you know, going to any of the farm conferences, the New York Northeast. I always get that NOFA acronym wrong.
The NOFA, I know, me too. NOFA, I'm not going to try, but NOFA, Google it. They're awesome.
this weekend up in Saratoga, and then closer, though, the Connecticut NOFA is having a conference in Danbury, Connecticut, which is just maybe about an hour north of the city, an hour and a half. And, you know, those conferences are a great way to learn. But kind of, you know, there's sort of, I was going to say there's no substitute for experience, but I guess the, you know, the idea of behind all these classes is that, you know, maybe you can kind of shortcut your way to having a little more experience and not have to go through all of the painful trial by error steps, and you can get to the point where you're, you know, you're understanding a little bit more about the progression of the seasons and kind of some of the bigger picture things a little bit quicker than if you just leap right into things. So yeah. I think, yeah, I mean, there's in the city. I know Just Food has a farmer educator program as well, I think, and yeah, there's a lot of great resources out there.
And now you guys are, it looks like, doing a little hiring for the upcoming season. Is that right?
We are. We are hiring seasonal farm workers right now. I believe to start in April or May and kind of go through the fall. But we have kind of a variety of positions where we have a few people on staff year-round, and then we have longer season employees that are kind of April to Thanksgiving. And then we also hire a number of sort of June, July, August type of positions as well.
And can you, so I get this question a lot from people who they're like, I want to get out of the city, or I want to go try farming. You know, they look at woofing, they look at, you know, Orion job posting. In a job posting, do you have any, like, what should people be looking for? You know, there's internships, there's paid work, there's, like, different times of spaces. I mean, any thoughts with regards to kind of red flags or green flags that, you know, as people are kind of thinking about moving into something like that, I feel like it's hard to navigate the different options and don't even know what to look for.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different positions that every farm is different, and every farm manager that you would work for is different. And, you know, the three apprenticeships that I did in Pennsylvania were all, you know, they were similar in the sense that they all provided housing and kind of a weekly stipend, but they're all different as far as, you know, the work expectations during the week or the weekends. And, I think it's just best you just want to ask a lot of questions before you leap in, especially I did a couple of woofing volunteer volunteer occasions, and I think especially with something like that where you're you want to really make sure you ask a lot of questions about, you know, where you're going to be and what the housing is like, and make sure you know what you're getting into, make sure you know, you have the right clothes and all that sort of thing. But
so don't be afraid to kind of push back on the question front.
Yeah, because I think, you know, people on the other side of the computer tend to be busy, and you kind of it shouldn't be shy about kind of poking them for more information, I don't think.
Good. I know I've definitely had friends who have shown up to the farm that was, you know, not what they were expecting, and then been in kind of a difficult position of being halfway across the country and figuring out, you know, what was next for them. Well, so if folks want to learn more about the farm, they can definitely visit you at www.hilltophanoverfarm.org. Any other kind of upcoming events or things that people should be looking forward to or in the months to come, or is it kind of quiet right now?
It's kind of quiet right now. We're just actually putting together our calendar of classes and programs for the year. That should be up on our website pretty soon. Most Saturdays during the season, we have, during the warmer part of the season, I guess, we have cooking classes and gardening classes going on at the farm. And, there's every week there's different things happening up here. So.
Awesome. Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Folks, Westchester County, just north of the city. So if you're lucky enough to be living in the city, not far to go to check out some of that stuff. Mike, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
This has been another episode of the Farm Report on the Heritage Radio Network. This program, like all 30 of our live weekly shows, are available for free as a download through iTunes or Stitcher Smart Radio. You can find us on our website, www.heritageradionetwork.org. Check in daily there on the website. Lots of great news coverage on the homepage. And if you like what we do and want to support our work, please consider becoming a member by clicking that Donate tab. And stay tuned in.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.